right, Mal, welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 652. Jason Lindgren is with me and Marion Gentry returns. The weather finally broke here, Jason. Seems like we're into fall. How are you guys doing?
Oh, no. Hot and humid all the way.
Well, you guys basically have two seasons, hot summer and warm summer.
Yeah, it's something like that. Maybe a little bit of cold in January, but not for very long.
All right, let's bring Marion in. How are you, Marion? Good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, Crow. I'm doing great. Loving it. Thank you.
Before we jump in here, why don't you tell folks your website or whatever you'd like to put out?
My website is www.directionwithpurpose.com. I also have a Facebook group, which is Direction with Purpose, and a Instagram post, which is Marion's with an S, Everything Coffee. So Marion's _everything_coffee.
All right. I'm actually looking to see, is this one of the links I have on the sponsored page?
It should be there.
Yeah, I'm taking a quick look. Oh, yeah, I don't even know why I'm looking. I remember. So all the coffee and enema kits were there, which we were doing before. I wanted to say that because people keep emailing asking where they can get things, but we'll try to cover that as we go along.
Okay, perfect.
All right, we're going to talk about a thing that used to be commonplace in my grandparents' house, which is castor oil. Specifically, we're going to talk about castor oil packs. And Marion, I feel like a lot of people have forgotten how useful castor oil actually can be.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing oil. It's actually the only oil that penetrates the dermis of the skin. So it's an ideal oil to layer on top of other creams and whatever it is you're doing, like for your face or your body. So you can layer and put that last, and that will push all the other creams and lotions into the dermis, which is where we really need for all of it to go. Castor oil is really high in, really rich in omega-9s, which is amazing for our body, stimulates the liver, stimulates bowel movements. It's just an amazing healing oil, thick, but great to use.
Sorry to jump, but we actually have a discount code on the link to you, Marion. And the last time it got really used was when we were doing the coffee enemas. So many people jumped in that. But pulling back to castor oil, this is funny. It was in all my grandparents' era houses had castor oil. When I was young, and I think this happened to so many people, they saw a castor oil bean on a plant and their parents told them that that will kill you. Don't ever touch it. And I think that so many people were told this, that it fell out of, you know, use for that reason.
Yeah, well, the actual bean would be so strong and so potent, because when you take the oil, you expel the oil, and it's normally cold pressed expelling. And then, of course, it's, you know, it has a like a dilution, and you get rid of the really acidic part of the bean, and then you're left with just the oil itself. So I think years ago, that's what castor oil was in everyone's kitchen, because the mother or grandmother used to line people up before school and give them a teaspoon of castor oil and off they go. But of course, that stimulates the bowels. And yeah, I think that everyone just has a bad taste in their mouth about it, literally. But it's an amazing oil. It works great in every way. And we also add it to the coffee enemas now. It used to be where you would just do a separate castor oil enema. And now we figured out such an easier way that you can just make your coffee, add maybe 6 ounces to the enema bucket versus the 32 ounces, and have that reasonably warm. And then you would add the castor oil slowly while you're releasing the tube, and it's started the flow. So the warm coffee has kind of diluted the castor oil a little bit, so it's not as thick. And then you can use it that way. And then you just take, you lay down, still on your right side in the fetal position, just like you would if you were doing a coffee, and you take the castor oil that way. And we do recommend before you take, about 30 minutes before the castor oil, take a hot cup of black coffee. And then after, you wait about 20, 25 minutes and take another cup of hot coffee. And wait for the results. It's phenomenal.
You know, the first time we covered the coffee enemas, you find two types of people. And one of the types of people is, oh, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. And the other type of person, and we got a lot of emails of people who were so amazed. The first time I did a coffee enema was when I became aware of the Gerson method years and years ago. And the VA had had me on pain pills that had a ton of acetaminophen in them. And I'd been on it for a long time. And all I remember is the first time I did it and it worked, I felt like I was like 16 years old when I released all the toxins that had built up in me. I couldn't believe it. And that's when I really started focusing on the Gerson method. But to pull it back around, the castor oil packs, is it literally that? You open it up and there's just like a little pack you open and it's all ready to go?
No, the actual castor oil packs is the pack, the cotton packs or the pads, they come in a pack. You can get a pack of 9. And that's for people that want to pack their knees or breasts or arms or liver, you know, stomach. So you have all these moist pads. I mean, the pads aren't moist. And then you add the castor oil to each one, depending on where you're doing it. And you can actually reuse those pads. So just fold them up, put them in a Ziploc bag, put them in the fridge, take it out. If it's got a little dry, you can just top it up with a little bit more castor oil. And then you lay that on the area of your body that you want to kind of detox. Or if you're having a lot of pain, you can lay on your liver, on your gallbladder, knees, breasts especially. If people have like cysts on their breasts or some kind of aggravation going on that is bothersome, you can just lay that on each breast. So that's the pack of 9. That has 9 different separate pieces. And then there's a pack of 2, which would do the thyroid and the stomach. It's ideal to pack the thyroid because most of us do have an underactive thyroid that's very dehydrated. So the castor oil packs are ideal for that.
So if you put the castor oil pack on like a cyst, does it help break it down and reduce it?
Yeah. Yeah, it goes right into the dermis and into the cells and kind of distributes itself inside the body. And as an added bonus, if you've got like a little heating pad and put that on top and just lay and relax, that will eventually break it all down.
Now, if you have a cyst that you've had for like a long time and you do this and it does, like, it feels like it's all drained out, are you still going to have like a little flesh sac? Is that going to remain in there or does that all eventually go away if you treat it?
That normally goes away because it will come to the surface generally. And then it may look gross to begin with, but then eventually it will just dissipate and go away. And for something like a cyst, I would also add topically, maybe just with your finger, some black seed oil, and then put the castor oil pack on top. And the two of those things together are like blitzing anything. I was telling Rose that I had on my shin, I had like a little scabby, I don't know, spot, I guess. And it was there for years and it would go and it would come back. And I was on vacation with my daughter and she said, Mom, you need to get that looked at. That looks really bad. And you've had that for ages. So I hated to do it, but I went to a dermatologist and I let them do a biopsy, which I know you never do, but I did it. And it came back. It was the beginning of some kind of a cancer. I can't remember the name of it, but they wanted to do surgery, dig it out, but they wouldn't be able to close the wound because there's not enough flesh on a shin.
Where was it? Where was it on your body?
It was on my shin, right on the bone on my shin, on the front of my shin.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I thought that just doesn't make any sense to me, doing surgery, digging that out, leaving the wound open because they can't stitch it. I had all kinds of horrors going on in my head. So I proceeded to put the black seed oil on and then topically the castor oil on top of that every night before I went to bed. Just a little dab and a little dab. In the beginning, I did use like a Retin-A or an amylactin product, because that actually brings any kind of rotten cells to the surface. And then I did the black seed oil, and then I did the castor oil, and I did that every night. Sometimes I may do it during the day. I didn't really focus on it. It was just something intuitively, I guess. I remember one day sitting on the beach and looking, and it was gone, completely gone. No, not a dot. I mean, I can't even find where it was.
How long?
How long did it take to get rid of it?
Yeah, how long do you, to get rid of it?
You know, I'm oblivious because I don't remember the whole process, but it could have been maybe 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, as I'm not very diligent with things. So I would imagine 3 to 5 weeks, probably.
But that was doing it every day, right?
Every day, every other day. Like I said, I'm not that diligent, but maybe I was quite diligent in the first 3 or 4 days, and then I may forget. But it was, I mean, I am still blown away. So I am looking forward to going back to that same dermatologist, because they're going to look straight at my chart and go to that area. And then I'm just going to put my hands up and say, well, I cured it.
So I know you're familiar with DMSO. What you described is something I almost certainly would have hit with a 50-50 iodine DMSO, because I've experienced exactly what you're talking about. Like, all of a sudden it's gone. Compared to if you would use DMSO, what would you mention? What would the difference be there?
I've heard that, I mean, I love DMSO. I use it a lot. I just didn't think to use it there for some reason. I feel like with the DMSO, it tends to leave a tiny little mark. Like, you can tell that something was there before. Do you think so? Or have you been lucky and not had that?
When I use the DMSO, the way I try to describe it, like to my wife and other people who weren't familiar with it, to me, it feels like it's resetting the cells back to what they should be. And I know what you're talking about, but I also feel like if you keep going, eventually that will be gone. But the downside, which isn't really much of a downside, is you just have to be careful with, you know, you can't be all laissez-faire with DMSO. You got to be careful. You don't want to treat a part of your body that's got smelly aftershave or soap residues, because that can go into you. And the other thing that I guess we should mention, since, and we're going to get to DMSO, is like when you mix iodine and DMSO, it heats right up. But Jason and I have a friend who had a serious cancer come up, and he was mixing it on the spot and putting it on hot, which I had always mixed it. It gets pretty warm. And I thought, you know, you wait for it to cool down, but I don't know if you've got experience with that.
Yeah, I would wait for it to cool down.
Well, the amazing result here is almost, I mean, Jason, you saw it too. You did see the images, didn't you, Jason?
Yes, they were striking.
Mind-boggling. Yeah, this cancer came up quick. It was gnarly, like a big visible lump with almost like a pimple thing on top. And it was the kind of thing where the doctors are probably going to say, we can't operate on that because of where it was. You're going to die or something. And it was gone in pretty short order, and he's been clean ever since. And so I'm all about these castor oil, the DMSO, the things we're talking about. But back in my grandparents' time, what do you think was the primary use for, like, constipation or something? What do you think they were using it for?
I think mostly constipation, and to keep their children, especially, keep their immune system high. You know, because back in the day, kids played out, you know, they drank from the garden hose. Yep. They rarely got sick. And that was a way of keeping everybody's health optimal.
So what are we talking? Just a spoonful a day or something? What would they do?
They would give them a teaspoon in the morning before school or whatever. And I remember stories of people telling me there was like 5 or 6 children in the household with the two parents and one bathroom, and the mother wouldn't think, we've only got one bathroom and there's 7 of us, so they didn't stagger the amount of in between, so it was a rush. Yeah, so you hear some really strange stories where some kids would say, well, I just had to go outside and get in the bushes, I couldn't take it. So
is there any knowledge about castor oil and something like leaky gut, which is so prominent these days? What I was told is most leaky guts is like a bacteria eating holes. At least that's the way it was described to me. And so, you know, things like DMSO or other things, and we know the fermenting fairy cured herself of similar things using fermented foods. Does castor oil apply to that at all?
Yes, it definitely would. Yeah. Not many people like the taste. They don't like the texture. It's not pleasant. But I feel like at the end of the day, if it's all about your health, then you just suck it up and do it. But yeah.
I want to get one of your oil packs and give it a go because I have not given castor oil its due and I want to.
Oh yeah, do it. Try it. It's amazing. Especially anything, you know, like I said, you can pack the thyroid, your spleen, your knees, your ankle, anything that back, if you have a back issue, that's ideal to do a castor oil pack. Lay the, you know, get the pack wet, put it on your back with a heating pad, lay and rest. It will be amazing. You can even put it on and lay overnight in it. Just put a towel down underneath in case it leaks or something. But I mean, amazed. I'm amazed at it. Also, I had what I call barnacles. I don't know if you know what they are. They're like a crusty crater on my back and on my side. I don't think they're harmful in any way, but they're just ugly. And the dermatologist wanted to scrape that off and do whatever. But all I did with that was every night a dab of black seed oil and a dab of castor oil. A week later, gone. Completely gone. No scar, nothing. The stuff is amazing.
For people who have woken up to the amazing benefits of coffee enemas, do you provide directions if they want to start implementing the castor oil as part of it, if they're already doing it? And by the way, if you're a person who just heard that and thought not in a million years, you might want to rethink that because we live in a society where toxins are pouring into our bodies. And if you think about it, how do you get them out? I mean, you could sweat them out. You might be able to defecate them out little by little by little, probably not as quick as you're getting them. You can pee them out. But at the end of the day, this is a way to truly flush things out of you.
Yeah, it's the only way to get your health back, in my opinion.
I'm not far behind you there if you're really toxic. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that has inflammation, which is probably the majority of people today for one reason or another, you have to do coffee enemas. You have to get all that bacteria and all that fermentation that's just rotting away in your gut. You've got to get that out. And there are so many people that will tell me, oh, well, I haven't had a bowel movement in about a week and a half. Disgusting. It's got to come out. So the toxins today are way, way more than they were back in like the 70s.
That's for
sure. You know, with everything. So you've got to help your liver out. You've got to do something to stimulate your liver and remove those toxins. And like you said, when I first did mine, it took me about 3 months to cure myself of everything doing 1, 2, 3 coffee enemas a day. But I felt like a completely new person.
And
20 years later, I looked like I was 16 compared to what I was before I did the coffee enemas.
So I think I did it once and it wasn't very effective. It was awkward. But the next time I did it and I was able to hold it in for a period of time, not to be graphic, but when I called it a liver dump at the time, like you feel everything just releasing out of you. And I described it as a liver dump, but it was like Ghostbusters. You can't imagine what was in you.
Well, that sounds like fun.
All right, we're going to jump into one of my favorite herbs, actually. I always plant it every year. Let's talk about oregano and its different uses.
Oh, I love oregano oil. Yeah, it's got huge uses, really. Again, that's another oil that I add to my coffee bucket, about 5 drops. Well, it's anti-parasitic, antifungal, antibacterial. Again, so many uses for oregano oil. If you've got candida, any kind of thrush, any kind of UTI, taking oregano oil and black seed oil together even would eliminate all of that. Just so many things that you can use oregano oil for. especially if you're doing a parasite cleanse, that would definitely be something that you might want to add in with perhaps garlic. Parasites hate garlic and they hate oregano oil. So two together would be perfect. So if you're doing a parasite cleanse and you're using garlic, I recommend getting 6 cloves of garlic and then smashing them up with something heavy and then throwing them in the water and boiling and getting the active ingredient from the garlic, which is allicin. So that you can also use in with your coffees. But ideally, simply, we do a capsule that has allicin in it. And I just break open the capsule, about 2 of them, and pop that in my bucket with oregano oil. And that generally keeps everything inside clean. It prevents me from getting any kind of coughs and colds, which I don't ever get, actually. So I really recommend that, especially going into the fall and winter when everyone around you is coughing and sneezing. It will keep all that at bay.
Well, it treats parasites too, right? And there's I've heard a lot of people lately trying to make the argument, well, first of all, we've been told by a number of people that most of us have parasites. Yeah. Matter of fact, Jason, we were just talking to someone who's actually in the medical field, and one of their family members was being treated and a 1-foot tapeworm came out of them. Mm. And they were blown away. But what I was getting at is I've heard people try to make the argument that a lot of the disease that we experience is due to parasites. But my main point here is that the oregano oil is a way to treat things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Just orally, right?
Yeah, you can do oral. I mean, ours is very strong. So I would maybe just recommend 1 or 2 drops. About 5 can go in your bucket though. But yeah, about 5 drops. Should work. You know, it's a natural disinfectant. So whenever you take it, it's going to clean up anything that's going on inside. And, you know, the overgrowth of sugar, the overgrowth of parasites. And may I just say that many people say, oh, I've been tested, I don't have parasites. It's really unusual for a parasite test to come back as positive. Because you actually have to make sure that there is a parasite in your stool sample when you send it off, which is rare because they bury themselves into the cell wall and hide and migrate to the brain and all kinds of places. So it's really rare that you're going to actually get a positive parasite stool test come back. So I would just work on the assumption that we all have parasites. That's another reason why I don't eat sushi anymore. I used to.
I love sushi, but you just can't trust anything. But I've also heard recently a number of times that if you've got cats, you've got parasites.
Yeah, if you have any animal, you've got parasites, dogs included. It's a tough one. And I fortunately or unfortunately, I do have a lot of clients that will send me pictures and say, what is this? This is gross. You know, they look like they got a little snake head. And so I have a kind of a little library of all the different species that have been removed. And this is just by doing the coffee enemas, not necessarily doing the parasite cleanse itself, because that's quite invasive.
I didn't really believe that blanket statement, but we had a friend that was a colonics provider. It's like an enema, but it's different. They're basically flushing you out from behind. But she said from doing the colonic, the flush out hose is see-through, so the colonics person can see. She said she can tell anyone who has a cat because the little white things that go by. And she wasn't kidding. And I was blown away.
Yeah, me too. Gross. And you will see them when you do a regular coffee enema because the hose is clear. And when I first started, I had one that got trapped midway in the hose, and it was about 8 inches long.
Like a tapeworm, you mean?
I guess that's what that was. But I immediately clamped off and pulled the tube out, you know, the little catheter that we use. and then put that straight onto a tissue paper. And that was, I have that in my arsenal of images. That was gross.
And what was it that dislodged it? Just a regular coffee enema, or were you adding things?
Just a regular with the oregano oil in there. And I also add magnesium powder to mine. But just that alone.
Well, for people who aren't willing to do the coffee enema, they could do garlic orally, couldn't they?
They can. You can do, in fact, I recommend people taking one of those capsules daily. You know, again, it's another disinfectant that's going to keep your immune system up. You know, it fights off colds and flus, and it does help the immune system. But ideally, you know, we all need a really clean inside. We need a clean liver. And just to add, coffee enemas are not to clean the colon. Colonics are good for that, in a way. I'm not adverse to colonics.
They use pressure a little bit, though, don't they?
Yeah, they use pressure. It goes up into the stomach. It removes all the good bacteria, all your good acidophilus that you actually need to keep. So you probably do have to do probiotics, prebiotics, totally after a colonic.
You're supposed to. I know that for a fact. And a lot of places don't tell you that. They just wash you out and let you walk.
Yeah, and that is not good. But with the low retention coffee enema, which is my form of doing it, it goes up the hemorrhoidal vein and completely bypasses the stomach. So it's not removing any of the good bacteria that we need. So by going straight to up through the hemorrhoidal vein, you're going directly to the liver and targeting the bile ducts, which the coffee stimulates them, opens that, removes the toxins and carries it into the bloodstream, and then you eliminate. And once you've eliminated, which takes about 10 minutes to sit and relax and massage, you're done. It's not like anything to make you go to the bathroom. You're done. Once you've done it, you're 10 minutes, you're over it. And then a hot shower after that is like the icing on the cake. And then you feel like $1 million. You feel lighter, clearer. Your brain is focusing. Everything is so much better. But yeah, the garlic for sure. So again, anything that disinfects and is antiparasitic and antifungal, I'm all about. So they are the oreganos, the black seed oil, the castor oil, the garlic, and of course the coffee.
All right. So for people who have made the coffee enema part of their lifestyle, and by the way, I should mention that Fortune is the king of coffee enemas. And you can ask Jason. He looks much younger than I do. How much younger Jason, if you had to put years on it, how much younger does Fortune look than I do?
20 years at least.
Yeah, I almost would have said 30 or more, but yeah. And he does what you do, Marion. He has all these methods that he does, but you have a travel kit so people who are on the go can still incorporate this, right?
Yeah, totally. There's different ways that we have the enema bag. Which has a wide mouth on it, so it's easy to pour in and out. It does have a hook that comes with it, so you can hang it. By the way, the coffee enema bucket or bag should not be higher than 20 inches above the body. A lot of people think, oh, I'll just hook it on the shower curtain. That's not going to work. So we need it to be 18 to 20 inches above you.
Why is that?
Because it goes in way too fast, too quickly, and it could cause cramping. And the hemorrhoidal vein can't absorb at that speed. So it needs gravity to feed it. But we find about 20 inches is good enough for it to come and go in slowly and steady and let all the veins there just soak it up and carry it to where it needs to go. It's not like a douche where you would have it high and you're flashing out. You're not doing that at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you do make the travel kit available. So it's basically made for people who are on the go.
Yeah. So ideally, what I do personally, I have a travel kettle, an electric kettle, which has a stainless steel inside. And wherever I am, I get my distilled water, I fill the kettle halfway with water, I boil that water and then I add my 3 tablespoons or 2, whatever you're using at the time. I add that to that water and then I bring it back to a boil, but you have to stand over it and watch it so it don't boil over. And then I kind of do that several times, bring it to a boil, turn it off, bring it to a boil, turn it off. And I probably do that maybe 10, 12 times. And that's sufficient for me to get a good coffee enema. And then I strain it into my enema bucket and then top that up with the rest of the water to make 32 ounces. And that I find is a simple, easy way to just get what you need.
So to describe what she meant, you have to, like back in the Gerson method, they would take like a cup of coffee and boil it for a really long time. So what she's describing is optimally extracting from the coffee grounds all the components you need from that.
The palmitic acid, yeah. My coffee has very high palmitic acid. So that is what stimulates the bile ducts to open them up. So again, the coffee is quite potent. And just for anyone that doesn't know what my coffee looks like, it's actually kind of a golden color. It's green coffee. It's not been roasted. So we haven't roasted out the palmitate that you need to open the bile ducts. So some people think, well, I'll just go get coffee from Starbucks. I don't really recommend that. Coffee is very high on the toxicity list for heavy metals and mold. So I don't recommend that. But sometimes needs must, I know. But my coffee is shade grown by small independent farmers. And the coffee beans that we choose, and there are several of them in that one grind. So again, optimally looking for the best beans to make the best enema coffee.
Well, you offer the green beans as well, right? I actually cooked some of those up like in a regular coffee maker.
Yeah.
And drank a little bit of it. Oh my word, that stuff is rocket fluid.
Yes, people love it. I have not done it personally, but people do love it.
Doesn't taste great, but it
no.
will. Have you done that, Jason? Have you tried the green coffee beans?
No.
Woo. Whoa. I mean, I don't think I would be able to drink a whole cup of it. Doesn't taste great, but man, does it pack a wallop.
Yeah. Well, it's very strong. And so if you're looking for an energy boost, that is the quick way to get it. You know, because we know energy drinks, that they're just rubbish. But yeah, if you just need a quick boost. And some people have even put in the bone broth that has chocolate in it or the bone, you know, good organic bone broth. So they can kind of get both.
Hmm.
I haven't tried it, but.
What I was thinking is make like a good cup of coffee and just add like a few ounces of the green to it. So you get the bump, but it doesn't taste so green.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. To me, when I smell it, because it smells a bit nutty. Does it smell like that to you? I know some people.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign, Crow, because when you're really toxic, it smells like boiled cabbage or something on those lines when you're toxic because your nostrils are not picking up. But when you're on the way to being less toxic, then you do get that nutty smell. And, you know, some people say, oh, it smells like peanut butter. Which is lovely. Wow. Yeah.
I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah. So that's a good sign for you. I've had people say, oh my God, I can't stand the smell. I'm like, well, all the more reason you need to be doing them.
So I got to ask, Jason, have you ever done the enema?
No, I'm not confident to do it myself. And I don't have anyone around to really help with such a thing.
It's a little awkward at first, but like I mentioned, I think the first time I did it, but I didn't do it well, but I got it on the second time. I think the trickiest part when you first start doing it is being able to hold it in for the proper amount of time. And to me, that also speaks to the volume. So if you're new, maybe the volume could be less or something.
Yeah. A lot of times when people say, I can't hold it in. Number one, when you start releasing the toxins into the bloodstream, toxins want out. They want to push their way out. So that's why people say, oh my God, I couldn't hold it. So if you can try to hold it for 3 to 6 minutes initially, because it takes 3 minutes for the blood to circulate through the liver. So at least if you can give it one or two passes initially, then you can clamp off the hose, pull the catheter out, go purge that 6 ounces, whatever you've got in there, and then come back. You'll do much better holding it for the longer period of time, because it can be difficult once you, sometimes in the beginning, like your first one, you might be proud and be able to hold it for the 12 to 15 minutes because you haven't really broken up any of what I call that clay in there. It's still rigid. You know, you haven't broken anything up yet. Then the second one, it kind of gets in there a little more and you've broken up, and so you can purge. But as time goes on and you're releasing more and more toxins, it does get harder to hold it. But that's one of the tricks, I think, taking 6 ounces, clamp off, go and remove that and come back and take the other 24. And that's generally what works.
Is the general idea that you have to do several in a row before you're kind of clean?
Initially, yeah. Well, initially, once you first started on the regimen, ideally, you need to do it for 28 to 30 days straight. You know, each day, do at least one coffee enema. Sometimes if you're really toxic and you've released a lot of toxins, but you haven't eliminated them from your body, you're going to be left feeling a little yucky, a little sickly, maybe flu-like. Then I would recommend wait a couple of hours and do a second one to get the rest of those toxins out, because that means that your liver is going to have to repurpose everything that's left inside. So it's better to get that out than leave it in. Or anyone that has any kind of chronic pain, coffee enemas are ideal for that because it has a high morphine effect on the body. So anyone that has pain can probably get some relief by doing a coffee enema. When I had my neck issue, I had a herniated disc, C5, 6, and 7, and they wanted me to do surgery. I did not do surgery. I did not do painkillers. The only thing that got me through those 6 weeks were the coffee enemas. And I did one nearly every 2 or 3 hours around the clock. And my neck has healed, and much to the doctor's chagrin, because he loves to do surgery. And I know many friends that have had the surgery on their neck. It just didn't appeal to me. So just bear that in mind if you've got any chronic pain. The coffee enema will help. Well, number one, it's removing inflammation around the joint or around the area. So anytime you can reduce inflammation in the body, you should be able to reduce some pain.
Well, all I know is of every medical thing that I've ever learned about and implemented, there's nothing that comes close to the almost instantaneous well-being when it works. But before we run out of time, I want to get to the peptides, which are just blowing up right now.
Right.
As far as I know, they remain unregulated, and a lot of people are claiming benefits. And I'm hoping Jason can help me answer or ask the right questions here. It's quite complex, and there's quite a bit to know. So where do you want to start, Marion?
Well, I love peptides. Number one, you're right, they're not regulated. So I've been doing peptides probably since 2004 or 5, maybe. And yes, initially a peptide comes in a little vial with powder in the bottom, and then you have to constitute that with some bacterial water, you know, distilled water, good water, and you add that to the vial. Then you pull that from the vial itself with a larger syringe, and then you put that into the peptides, into the little peptide bottle. But depending on what you're doing, what your goal is, you do have to initially use those tiny, tiny little needles. I think they're called diabetic needles. They're really fine, really tiny. So the BPC-157 with the TB-500, that was the one I started with, and that's the one that seems to be most common. That one rebuilds, regenerates. Again, if you've got pain, put it right into that part. However, not everybody wants to use a syringe, and not everybody wants to put a needle in. So I have told people that you can put it straight into the enema bucket, preferably towards the end of your 32 ounces, but it really doesn't matter. Just don't overthink it. Just get it into the enema bucket, and that way it's going directly to the liver and you're still getting some benefit from it. Lately, they've brought out BPC capsules, so you can take that orally. I think they work, but I don't know that they would work on direct pain, because if you have direct pain, it's always better just to inject straight into that area.
Well, I can address that a little bit, and I've talked about it. I had a nurse friend who had a rotator cuff that was hurting, came on very quickly. We were talking with Dr. Drake. She ended up getting the little needles, but what she told me was that needle was so tiny, she couldn't even feel it. She put it directly in the injured rotator cuff and almost immediately feeling better within a couple days, night and day. But I don't think I would opt for the needle unless I was really needing it. But I don't, how could you possibly swallow a capsule and get the localization of direct injection?
Yeah, I feel the same. However, you know, the BPC also does fix the gut. So many of us, not me anymore, thank God, but many of us do have gut issues, and that does also fix that. So even if you are taking it orally, you're still getting the benefits at one point or another. And anyone that is on like a weight loss program, a lot of people are taking a shot of some kind to help with weight loss or whatever. That's when I go back to the coffee enemas. That's a must, by the way, while you're detoxing like that. There are many different peptides, and I probably do maybe 3 or 4 each morning, and then I do maybe 2 of those in the evening before bed. And again, I haven't seen a conventional doctor in over 30 years, which is insane when you think about it. Is there anything else you'd like to know, Jason, about peptides? I know there's so much to cover.
Yeah, there's a lot. We use the insulin needles. That's what you're referring to. And they are very thin, and they're nowhere near as long as a traditional needle, like one that's trying to get into a vein. So depending upon where you stick yourself, you might feel it. I found that if I go really high up on my inner thighs, I can feel it, but it's like it barely hurts. So you just kind of have to figure out what works for you. That's where I've found for myself. We've been taking consistently, Rose and I, the CJC 1295 and the NAD Plus. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I can tell you that shortly after I take them, I get a very flushed feeling, so I can tell it's going through my body. But what I noticed, and I actually texted Jeff the other day, Jeff, the guy who we work with peptides, that I noticed my knees seemed to be regenerating as well as some of my other joints. I used to get very bad pops and clicks and all that kind of thing, and those have drastically reduced.
So like cartilage, you mean, Jason?
Well, I'm assuming so, but I can't prove that. But I can tell that there's strength in my knees that hasn't been there in probably years. For instance, like bending down, taking things out of a washing machine, putting them in the dryer. I'm not hearing all these clicks and pops and all these things that I used to hear all the time. And I feel strength there in my knees that wasn't there for quite some time. Oh, and one last thing. Rose has been doing very well on the tirzepatide. It's been making her stomach feel much better. And she's taking the CJC 1295 with that to make sure she's not losing muscle mass while she's losing weight on the tirzepatide.
Wow, that's awesome. Of course, I can attest to the same thing, because I was using that for years to try and regenerate my hips. So I still do that. I still do it straight in there. The one I think people, can I just mention the GLP-1 so people don't get confused with the other peptides that you can take? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we've got a few minutes before the top of the hour, so we can cover that really quickly here.
Okay, so the GLP-1, which stands for glucagon-like peptide 1, is typically the Ozempic and Wegovy, the synthetic version of a peptide. The GLP-2 is not synthetic, it's a conventional peptide that our body would make, but that is normally like tirzepatide, something like that, and that hits two of the agonists in the gut. So it kind of, it's a hormone produced in the intestines that helps to regulate blood sugar levels. That's what a GLP-1 stands for. So the Ozempic, I mean, it does its job, but I'm not a fan. But tirzepatide hits two of those glucagons, and the retatrutide, which is the newest version, that hits all three. So they're saying with the retatrutide that you tend to lose weight faster, but you maintain muscle. Now, I don't know how true that is. I haven't tried it yet, but I know that some people like Reda, others like the tirzepatide better. But either one, that's what they do. And if you take them in small doses or microdosing, you're not going to have any side effects whatsoever. However, you are going to see some weight loss and some clarity and some gut healing going on. So that is why I feel like talking about the GLP-1, 2, and 3, you know, the 2 and the 3 are not like the GLP-1s. They're completely different. The CJC maintains muscle mass, so it helps rebuild muscle, which is a great one to take if people are on any of the GLPs, because that will help maintain muscle. Of course, we all need to work out. You can't sit on the couch and think that you're going to gain muscle with any of these. You do have to exercise somewhat.
Really, with these peptides, it's very much an individualized thing. There is no exact science that you can just open a pamphlet and be like, take this at this exact time, this exact much. You've got to figure out what works for you, because everyone's just very unique in this regard.
Yeah.
Well, I should point out what just happened, because people aren't going to recognize. Jason only mentioned what he took, what he paid attention to, and the benefits. And I know he has information about a couple more, but he doesn't feel like he has anything to offer on it. I think the main thing I'm pointing out here is if you're going to do things like this, you're taking care of yourself. You need to pay attention and you need to be tuned in to what's working and so on.
So next we're going to be trying the Wolverine blend. I already ordered it and it's here. I'm trying to be as objective and transparent with these things as possible. I want to know what's doing what so that I can report on it, instead of just throwing a whole bunch of stuff at my body all at once and then just kind of shrugging my shoulders and go, well, something's going on, but I don't know which one did what. So at least now I know that I've been doing these two, this is what I've seen, and then I'm going to be adding in the Wolverine blend because I have several injuries I would love to try and regenerate as well.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a synopsis on what each of your peptides are doing for you? I can send you that if you do not have it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I can send you the breakdown of what each one does, like your Wolverine blend. I can tell you what that does. Just one thing, anyone that's on a GLP-1 or 2 or 3 generally would benefit by taking taurine. And I can leave a link with Rose that she can post that explains everything, the benefits of taking taurine while you're doing these peptides. Anyone that gets like a little heart flutter, it's nothing. But again, taurine would help with all of that.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty much at the top of the hour. Jason, do you have anything more to add before we break?
Well, the big thing here with the peptides is if you just go ordering peptides, make sure you're getting them from a reputable lab. If you want to really take care of things and you have the money to put towards it, you can do the consultation with Dr. Diana, and she will absolutely be able to walk you through things. She will tell you exactly what to do, where to get things, like all that. She will take care of all of that. But that's a premium service, so keep that in mind. You can get peptides from other places, but absolutely do your homework, because with some of the companies out there selling the stuff, you just don't know what's in them, and man, you just don't want to be shooting that stuff up if you don't know the source.
Yeah, correct. Jason's right. You really must get some input and some direction. You just can't get one, order one of these and think you know what you're doing with it, because the amount of water that you add to the peptide, how you draw from that, and how much you put in you, all needs to be monitored. It's a process. But not a difficult one. It's just something you need to know.
Do you have anything else, Jason?
Okay, so on the sponsored page, we now have a link to Rejuvetide Peptides, and you get a 15% off discount. Just use the code CROW15, CROW15. Now, the big thing here is we know the source for the peptides that are on offer there. So we know that it's good stuff for you to take.
All right. We're at the top of the hours. Marion, can you please tell folks one more time where your website is? And I will remind everybody, we have a link to Marion on the sponsors page with a discount code. So you're getting, like Jason said, access. We put these things up because we trust them and we know their quality. That's how they end up on that page. So go ahead, Marion.
My website is www.directionwithpurpose.com. I do have a Facebook page, Direction with Purpose, and an Instagram, which is Marion's_everything_coffee. I also have a Telegram page, but that is by invite only. So we can send a link for that later, I think.
One last thing. Go on the sponsor page and use the link to Marion's website, and you can get a 10% discount if you use the code CROW10, CROW10. And if you want to hear the first two episodes with Marion, which I think you should, because it goes into great detail about the coffee enema process, how it all works, and why people do it, they are numbers 406 and 495.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for hour one of episode 652 with Jason Lindgren and Marion Gentry. When we come back in hour two, we're going to get into some things, but we're going to be opening with what I accept as a proof of how corporations are taking us over and trying to ruin the healthful things that we have access to. We'll be covering what happened to Gerson, among other things. I will also cover what happened to the tools that were so few to allow you to do the Gerson method. Those two have been ramshackled, to use a descriptive term. Anyhow, hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is CROW777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode and they get access to all the comments sections and forums. They can create top level ideas to talk about and they can stream the 2-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they want. That now has 10 awards in the world. Last two came from India and it covers all my lunar work, my so-called UFO work, chemtrail work before anyone would admit that it was going on, and the discovery of the second sun, or what I kind of sort of call the second sun, hoping I can prove that more as time goes on. Members of the site get exclusive access to my solar work now. I no longer post it in places where they can censor it or control it in any way. New members of crow777radio.com get to pick free solar images when they sign up. We've got an interface now where you can just pick. If you do a year, I think it's 2 or 3. If you just do the month, you get one. These are pretty cool when they come to you. Some of them print up around 40 to 60 inches. Of course, you can print them anything in between, but I state the max print and they are sharp. I've seen someone print up to about 45 inches so far and they look really nice. With that, we're going to get ready for hour two. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
the enemy of knowing.